Straight Talk about vision loss with Mark Riccobono.
Welcome back to Straight Talk. It's hard to believe that already one-third of 2008 is behind us. We are looking forward, anticipating very soon the summer, all of the activities that come with that, and of course the National Federation of the Blind annual convention in Dallas, Texas, and our March for Independence. Recently on Straight Talk, we've talked some about the Jacobus Tenbroek Research Library on Blindness, and that got me thinking about all of the resources, the wealth of information that we've collected over the years from the experience of blind people and the things that blind people have done, the knowledge base that we've built for ourselves to empower ourselves and that we're trying to centralize here at the Jernigan Institute in our library. And so today I am very pleased to have the opportunity really to talk with and introduce you to someone that's very important in my life and an example of the important resources we offer in the National Federation of the Blind. Of course, May marks the annual coming of Mother's Day. And in some parts of this country, including Maryland, there are still efforts that are undertaken sometimes to take children away from blind parents. And so I thought it would be appropriate for us to talk to one of my favorite mothers and talk about parenting as a blind person and both the challenges in terms of society and the opportunity to learn from blind people who have been successful as parents in the past. So let's go meet Melissa Riccobono. Melissa, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It's truly a pleasure to have you on the show. I know you don't watch very often, but it's truly a pleasure to have you here. And as I mentioned at the beginning, Melissa, you are my favorite of the moms that are available to me. Of course, my
well,
my mom is great as well. But since you're the mother of our child, I really appreciate the work that you do. And you're here today to talk to us a little bit about parenting and a number of other things. But can you begin by telling us a little bit about your background as a blind person growing up and that sort of thing?
Sure. Well, I was born in Wisconsin, and I've been blind since birth. I have a birth defect called Leber's congenital amaurosis, and was very lucky to have parents who believed that blindness was just a characteristic. They weren't aware of the Federation, but they really had that Federation philosophy right from the very beginning of my life, that I was able to do whatever it was that I wanted to do. I just needed to find different ways to do things. And so that's my background growing up. I did go to college, found the National Federation of the Blind in college, was very grateful and glad to find a group of people that believed the things that I believed and really pushed me even harder to do all those things that I felt in my head that I could do, but wasn't quite sure in my heart. And those included getting married and becoming a parent. Graduated from college, became a school counselor for a few years in a school in a suburb of Baltimore, and then decided this last June to stay home with our child, who's 16 months old.
And also had an extensive sports background.
Oh, yes, that's true. I did run track and cross country in high school as well and was in the Paralympics in 1996.
Being that it's an Olympic year, as we
that's true.
There's probably so many things we can explore, but you are also the president of the Greater Baltimore Chapter.
Yes.
Of the National Federation of the Blind. And I guess a good way to begin thinking about Mother's Day and parenting is maybe you can talk a little bit about legislation that the Federation has recently gotten passed in Maryland related to blind individuals who are parents.
Well, we didn't get all the things that we were after, but we are continuing to work on it. We're going through summer study soon, so hopefully we'll get everything. What we wanted was that the judges in custody cases could not use blindness as a reason in and of itself to deny custody to parents. That did not happen, unfortunately. What we did end up getting is that if the state needs to decide custody in types of guardianships, maybe it's foster care, maybe it's some emergency guardianship circumstances, that the state cannot use any type of physical disability as a factor in considering that custody in and of itself or that guardianship. So we're definitely getting there, we're getting closer, but there's no reason that blindness needs to count against someone who is a parent and who has taken care of children for many, many years in some cases, or grandparent, or any type of caregiver. There's no reason that blindness needs to hold parents back. And so we just want the courts to realize that as well and make it a law so that these cases can't happen where one parent is sighted and the other is blind, and the sighted parent starts to use the blindness against the other parent.
Right, and of course, so often it's difficult for the courts, juries, judges to understand how blind people can even be parents.
Absolutely.
And let's maybe explore that a little bit. So that's the legal side. But partially, we are fortunate as parents in the 21st century that there's been many blind parents, and certainly blind parents who have been involved in the Federation, who have passed on the skills, idea, really the philosophy that blindness is not something that is a barrier to being a good, independent parent who can raise a child successfully. Maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the things that you do to debunk some of the myths that people have about how it would be difficult for a blind person to be a parent.
Well, I think that there's a few things that I do. The first thing is that I like to be very active with our child out in the community. And part of that is to debunk some of those myths. Most of it, though, is because I just don't like to stay at home.
Yeah.
And if I stay at home staring at the four walls, I would go crazy, especially now with a very extremely active 16-month-old. So I enjoy getting out, taking him to story hour, taking him to our community playground, going to restaurants, anything that I can do to be out there and to expose him to all different things. When I am out in public, I often will carry him in a backpack. I almost always have bells on his shoes so that I can hear where he is. I also use sometimes a little monkey backpack that the tail of the monkey goes on his back and kind of peeks over his shoulder. And the tail of the monkey is actually a leash, so he can have some freedom to run, and yet he's very close to me, and I know exactly where he is at all times because he's on that little leash. I do pull a stroller behind me. I don't push it, because if I were to run into something, I would not want the baby to run into it first. I would want to run into it first. I use my dog or a cane to get around so that we can get around safely. And those are just the big things, and then a lot of talking and a lot of listening, listening to where he is, talking to him about what I hear and he can see. So I often will talk to him about what he might be seeing based on what I hear. And now that he's becoming more verbal, we can have many more exchanges, even though they're pretty short at this point. He still has words that he likes to use, and that really helps me know what he's seeing and that he's paying attention to me. And so that really helps me know where he is. And I mean, it's wonderful because I'm talking to him anyway and getting all of that interaction in, but it kind of serves two purposes because I know where he is and what he's doing. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you find really requires vision in terms of caring for a child?
Not yet. No, honestly, medication can be measured with different sizes of little syringes without needles. You can make marks on those. You can measure exactly the dosage of medication that the child needs. You might need someone, or you will need someone, to help mark those syringes to begin with. But once they're marked, I can do it all on my own. Clothes is another thing, matching clothes, making sure that there's either safety pins or buttons or some way that I can tell what clothes go with what. Again, maybe it takes a little bit of vision in the beginning, but once that's done, I can certainly dress him and diaper him and bathe him and get him where we need to go. And there's really nothing that I've found so far. Braille is another wonderful thing that I like to do. Mm-hmm. I love to read to mm-hmm. him. I can use Braille to mark different things, CDs, medications, books, whatever it is that I need to do with him. And so there might be something, but at least so far in the 16 months that we've had mm-hmm. Together, I haven't found anything that really requires vision to do with a child. And he's growing and very healthy and, as I said, very active. So I think we're doing an okay job.
Yeah. Maybe we could get Seedlings to sponsor this episode.
Maybe we could. It's a wonderful organization.
Now, there are times, though, when Austin is, I guess we didn't mention that, Austin is our 16-month-old. You know, he falls and mm-hmm. That sort of thing. In terms of his safety, I mean, do you feel at all that he's compromised by having blind parents? And do you think that other people worry about that?
That's a great question. Quite honestly, in some respects, I feel as if he's safer having blind parents because we have to use our other senses and we do that just automatically. Not to say that he never falls, because he does. And not to say that he is the safest child in the whole world, because we haven't put a bubble around him and certainly allow him to do things. But quite honestly, when I'm at the playground and I see other parents sitting on the sidelines just watching their children, which there's nothing wrong with, I feel as if in some ways I have kind of an edge because I'm right with Austin, mm-hmm. climbing with him and figuring out what he's doing and taking that straw or that bottle out of his mouth before he chews on it much quicker than a person who's sitting across the playground mm-hmm. can do. Now, as he gets older, most certainly I will let him have more freedom and be one of those parents that sits more on the sidelines. But as of right now, I feel like sometimes he has an edge because I have to be right there with him to know what he's doing, especially in unfamiliar places. Mm-hmm. As far as other people, I often think that people, quite honestly, don't understand what blind people do. And I even think that some people maybe who are just losing vision might be afraid or might question how on earth they would look out for a child because all of a sudden they can't see the child. Mm-hmm. And again, that's where the alternative techniques come in, the listening, the bells on the shoes, the being right there, the hand-holding, all of those things that I think help children feel more secure, especially young children, feel more secure anyway, that you can do as a blind person. And for all those others who just can't quite understand how it's done, I guess all I can say is that there's no research that says that blind children or parents of blind children blind parents with children have any more incidence of their children getting hurt mm-hmm. than sighted parents do. So I think it is a concern, and certainly sometimes I do think about it that if he falls, someone's going to think, oh, she's blind and that's why he falls. Mm-hmm. And I just have to stop those thoughts from coming into my head because children fall no matter what you do.
Yeah. So often we're influenced by society and mm-hmm. what other people think, and if we let ourselves be limited by that, then we're really limiting our opportunities. Now, you mentioned a number of the techniques that are used, and also various products, devices, backpacks, monkey leash, other things. And these are all mainstream products that are available to anybody, not just blind people, and they're not for blind people.
Exactly.
So a number of the things that are out there we can take advantage of. I guess I think of the Sit and Stroll product, another endorsement here. but this is a mainstream car seat stroller combination that's used primarily by people who want to travel on airplanes and things with their children. But for a blind person who needs a car seat and a stroller and doesn't want to carry both around, it's the most convenient, cost-effective thing to do. And these things are out there, and of course, as parents, we didn't come to have this knowledge right away.
No.
It's the networking through the National Federation of the Blind. Maybe you can talk about the listserv.
Yes, there is a listserv for blind parents, and you can subscribe by going to www.nfbnet.org, and you can click on Join or Drop NFB Mailing Lists, and then you scroll down to blind parent, and it's a wonderful list. It's a list where you can ask questions. That's actually where I found out about the sit and stroll when Austin was getting too big for his car seat that actually attached to our stroller. I was sort of bemoaning the fact on the list that, oh, now pretty soon we're going to have to carry a stroller and a car seat. And someone wrote back and said, oh, no, you don't. There's this wonderful product. And there's so many things that happen that go on that way every day. Mm-hmm. And as Austin gets older, I am so grateful to parents in the National Federation of the Blind who have been there, who have done that. I'm lucky enough to have a blind sister, and she has three little boys, and so she's kind of been there and done that. And it's great to get her experiences, but it's so comforting to know that there's just a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of information out there and a wealth of parents who have done it and who are doing it. Because one thing might not work well for me. Maybe it works well for my sister. Doesn't work so well for me. So I love asking questions on the list because I get different responses, and hopefully one of those will work for me. And then I can also give back and give to other parents. Not that I know it all, most certainly, but I certainly know what things have worked for me, and so I enjoy that as well, being able to give back and talk with other parents, especially real new parents.
Is there anything you might want to share with parents of blind children who might be watching this, now having a child of your own for 16 months and having grown up as a blind person? Do you have any particular observations about the things that we would want parents of blind children to know about allowing their blind children the type of opportunities they need?
Oh, well, the parents of blind children, first of all, you found the right place. If you're watching this, obviously you found the National Federation of the Blind, and you have found a wonderful group of people that love your children and want to make things easier for your children than they were for us, and want to help you do that, want to help you help your children grow up to be independent, capable adults who are productive in society. And I'm sure as parents, that's what you want for your children. And it can certainly happen. There's no barriers. So often the barriers that exist are those that we put on ourselves. And so thank you. And congratulations for finding the right place. The second thing that I would have to say is let your children be children. Look at what their friends are doing, what people that are their same age are doing. Ask yourself if your children are doing those things or can do those things. I understand often there's multiple disabilities that come with blindness, but you really need to think about having your children be age appropriate and making sure that if they can roller skate and all their friends are roller skating, that you let them do that. Maybe they take a cane with them. I hope they take a cane with them, but they should be able to roller skate and they should be able to do those things. In the kitchen is another thing. Of course there's hot things in the kitchen. Of course kids can get burned. Well, did you ever get burned learning to cook? Then your blind child should have that opportunity too. Not to say that you put them in there and you know, have them reach into an oven with no pot holders on their hands, but you need to give them that opportunity. And I know it's a tough balance. Believe me, I talked sort of jokingly about putting your child in a bubble. And Mark and I often joke about that when Austin falls down. We say, oh no, we need to put him in a bubble. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that. You can't do that for any child, and you especially can't do that for your blind children, because society expects them to be in that bubble. And you really need to push that envelope and make sure that they're out there and they're doing all those things that you did as a kid and that their age mates are doing. And if you don't know how they're going to do these things as a blind person, that's where the Federation comes in, because we've had people who have had those experiences and who can help you and help you figure out how it is that you can have your child have a paper route or roller skate, or maybe they're a reluctant walker, you know, how to help them get up there and moving. Whatever right. it is, whatever stage or age your child is, we can help you.
Yeah, and I think so often parents of blind children are told, you know, their kids don't need canes until they're older. And I think about Austin, who's not blind, but who has his little cane because he wants to be like mom or dad, and he knows what to do with it at 16 months old, and that we would think that blind children would not be able to use the cane in the same way that our 16-month-old can. It seems silly, and it's been an eye-opener for me to see how natural, actually, the use of the cane is, even for a child that doesn't need the use of the cane for freedom and independence. So
exactly, and he loves it. He calls it his D.
Yeah. Now, I guess real quickly, you're also the president of the Human Services Division for the National Federation of the Blind. I don't know if you want to say anything about that.
Well, we have a meeting coming up at our national convention in Dallas, and we are a division for blind social workers, psychologists, counselors, drug rehabilitation counselors, anybody in the human service field, or anyone interested in the human service field. Maybe you're a student and you're kind of thinking about human services as a career, and we would love to see you at our meeting in Dallas. We are actually going to have a little networking get together after our meeting. And the meeting is on Tuesday, which is the 1st of July. And the registration begins at 1 o'clock. Meeting starts at 2, and the meeting goes until 5. And then we'll have the get together from 5 to 6. And it's just a great time. We'll have a question and answer session about how we do the job, how we get the job done. We're going to have different speakers who are in different professions. One of our board members is going to take a mission trip, and she's going to speak about that. So we are just very excited to have the Human Services Division meeting in Dallas. We'll also be selling some things. I think we're going to be selling some Slinkies as a fundraiser and a little stress relief. So please look us up and come and be a part of our division. We'd love to have you.
Excellent. And we did say earlier, you did say, I guess we should mention it again, as a parent who uses both a cane and a dog at various times. And so that fits in there too, and you have that experience, so people can always use you as a resource, because I know there are different issues about managing having a child around, traveling, using a dog as opposed to a cane, and of course you do both.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, great. Is there anything else you want to share, talk about?
I don't think so. I also do sell Discovery Toys. I'm an educational consultant, so I'm a resource for that as well, and they're great toys for blind children and sighted children. High quality, educational, most of all fun.
Really okay, so stuff. This episode has been brought to you by Seedlings Braille Books. And that's great. And, of course, a lot of great toys for blind and sighted children.
So absolutely.
That's great. And, of course, there are a lot of blind people that are selling Discovery Toys. That's a nice other network as well.
Absolutely.
Anything else to share with our audience?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, as an early Mother's Day gift for being on Straight Talk, we will give you the ceremonial Braille thank you mug.
Oh, thank you.
This is the public Mother's Day gift. And just, you know, thank you for the great work, commitment that you have as the mother to my child. And thank you really for being taking the time to come on the show. It's never easy to be interviewed by your husband, I don't think. So thank you for not bringing up any of the home issues. So thank you for coming.
Thank you.
That's been another episode of Straight Talk. And to all the mothers out there, whether you're a mother of a blind child, a blind mother of a child, or just a mother, commitment to the National Federation of the Blind. Thank you for your work and for viewing Straight Talk.
www.nfb.org 410-659-9314